to say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about tool time. Let's talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone thugs in, are they in harmony? Do, do, help a snowman, do.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another one of these. I'm Pete, your host. I don't know why. Why do shows do that? They're like, I'm your host, da da da. It's like, yeah, you've always been the host of this. I'm your host, so and so. It's like, if you're doing this for the first time and no one, and someone else, usually, when someone's replacing Ira Glass, feel free to be like, hello, this is Sarah Fowle. Or, hi, this is Starley Klein. Or Kine, or whatever. But, Ira Glass, feel free to just be like, hey, it's This American Life. Fuck you. I don't know. So Pete's excellent adventures today. I did my annual being a spelling bee judge today. Which is, like, nerve-wracking, and also I have to get up early in the morning. I don't know how it always works. So, for probably the last 10 years approaching, my schedule at work has been almost exactly the same. I mean, definitely for the last 8 years, every Thursday, I work from noon to 9 p.m. Now, this is something that's kind of horrible about my job, that, I don't like to spend a lot of time complaining or even talking about my job on this, but this is something that I think is, like, very underrated in terms of, like, challenge, which is, like, when you work at the library, I think everyone assumes, like, oh, you've been there for 10 years, you've got a master's degree, you work, like, 9 to 5, right? Incorrect. I work noon to 9 on Thursday and 8 to 5 on Friday. So I leave, when I leave the front doors, I have just under 11 hours until I must return, in which I need to sleep and eat twice. So that would be 10 hours right there. I mean, you know, if I get up an hour before, if it takes me an hour to get home and eat and stuff, and then 8 hours of sleep, I've got about 45 minutes that night to do something of value with my life. What I usually like to do is stay up until 1 or 1:30 a.m. and just be tired on Fridays, because I just can't take it. Anywho, somehow this spelling bee always ends up being on Thursday, which is the day, this is the other thing I think of why I end up sleeping in and why it's probably really bad for me, and I should like swap this and have the late or the early morning, and then the next day is the late arrival. Because I sleep until 11 on Thursday. And so, you know, then when it's like Friday night, I'm not ready for bed at 11. I mean, that's 12 hours. Give me a break. Anywho, that's not the exciting parts. I mean, I don't know if there's any super exciting parts. There was one. Okay, so part of what I do is bring this huge dictionary, which is sitting next to me right now. It's like 3,000 pages, you know, and it's Bible paper, and it's got the little cutouts on the side so you can actually find the words. And let me tell you something. It will never feel like it takes you longer to find a word in a dictionary than when you're sitting in an auditorium full of people and a kid is like, can I get the definition, please? And then you've got to get this giant book. You've got to flip around. And there are, I don't know, 2 or 3 columns per page. The pages are, you know, razor thin. And the font is like 5 or something. It is fucking tiny. So when someone's like, can I get the definition, please? You're like, well, yeah, give me 20 minutes. So that's part of the gig, right? Is I bring the dictionary, and if they ask for a definition, I look it up. I could not find our copy of the Webster's Third New International Dictionary. So I had to, I looked in our catalog and some other libraries in our system have it, right? So I emailed one and I was like, hey, you guys are close by. Could you send me your Webster's Third New International Dictionary? And I get an email back. Well, it looks like that item's missing. And I was like, all right. So I went down the list and I emailed two at the same time this time and said, hey, can I borrow this dictionary from you guys? And I had to do it this way. Normally you could just put it on hold, but this is like a giant, huge dictionary and all the libraries have it like library use only. Because basically everyone, I think, has it set out on some kind of podium to basically be like, this is one vestige of the like old-timey library. I would like to chain ours up with a big chain, if that's possible. Or a yardstick, how they do that, with the newspapers and shit. So I email and someone's like, oh, I'll send ours to you, and I don't hear back from the other person. So I'm waiting yesterday, and it never shows up. And the way things run, it's never coming. If I don't get it yesterday, I'm not going to have it for this morning. And now it's like in transit somewhere, so it's not like I can just go pick it up either, which is what I should have done. I mean, it would have been like a good half-hour drive, but I should have just been like, radical, I'll come pick it up. But instead I was like, send it to me, I'm a fucking bum. You know, I'm going to go eat my fifth lunch of the day, and then you send that to me. So it's not there. So now I'm like, well, what are my options? And so I look online because I was like, you know what would be really fucking awesome is if this is like on Kindle or something. Because not only would that be probably really cheap, but also when a kid was like, what's the definition? I could just type it in and go straight there. That would be so much faster. And I was like, man, this must be how they do the official. Well, turns out this dictionary is not available on Kindle. You can subscribe to some website where then you can look up the words and all this stuff. And it costs like $14 a month or something like that. Which I was like, Jesus Christ, they must just make all their money like Audible or something. Audible, your number one source for audio entertainment. It's like a book for your mind and your ears. I mean, a book is like a book for your mind, right? And for your ears, I don't know. But it's a book for your fucking ears. Open your ears, listen to Audible. So it must be like Audible, this service, because what must happen is people must subscribe to the dictionary, which I never thought would be something. It's like, oh yeah, you know what you can do is just, instead of buying a dictionary one time, even at an exorbitant price, instead of doing that, you can just pay for it monthly, a rather high price. And just kind of not notice that it's draining away your bank account. So I was like, well, I guess I could do that. I mean, I guess I could do it for a month and then just cancel it immediately. Or I don't know. I was like trying to think of like, well, if I did that, if I paid whatever for 1 month, could I come back and then find a use for the dictionary of some kind? Just to make me feel like, all right, well, my life's not a complete waste. I didn't fucking blow everything here. And then I was like, well, maybe they have it at like, because this is the official Spelling Bee dictionary. So maybe they have it at like Barnes & Noble. And I look it up and they don't have it. They had one in Boulder. And I was like, well, I ain't driving to no Boulder. They had, also, I was like, maybe they have it at, like, Walmart and shit, right? Because I was like, well, where even sells books? This is how sad our town is. There's, like, no bookstore. And I was like, where even sells books that I could go? And I was like, I guess Walmart has some books, right? You know, Target always has, like, the two aisles of books that's basically the, like, now a major motion picture aisle with every cover. By the way, motherfuckers. When you're making these books into movies, you don't have to re-release the book with the movie cover, okay? I got it. When you've got like a movie poster and it's Matt Damon's face for The Martian, and then I go to the bookstore, there's a big table that's like book to movie, and it's like The Martian. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's the same one. But furthermore, when you have a book that doesn't have like a generic title like The Martian, I mean, when it says Fight Club, I will assume that's probably the same Fight Club. I can make that leap. I don't know. You don't need to fuck around with these stupid alternate ones. Everybody who wants to read the book, too, like, doesn't everyone want to at least live temporarily in the illusion that they read the book first? Like, does anyone really want to be like, well, I really want to read this book now that I've seen the movie. I want to read the book and also admit to everybody that I did the movie first. Sorry, we had quite the rattling going on that I had to remedy. Remedy Rattlin, that's my new hip-hop name. Anywho, so I was like, well, I can't buy this fucking dictionary anyway. And even if I could, like, I was like, okay, they've got one in Boulder. I guess that's possible. But then I looked and it's like $120. And I was like, not spending that. So finally what I decided, so I had to go and do something anyway. I can't remember now, but I was in the neighborhood of the first library that was like, ours is missing in action, so we can't find it. And I was like, you know, would it hurt to take a look? Would it hurt to just go? Because I've worked in the library long enough to know that sometimes things are missing and sometimes they're like missing, right? And sometimes, you know, if I don't express the urgency of something, I could understand why someone might not look that hard. Or they might just not know. I don't know. So I was like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to just stop and take a look. Now, of course, I go in and I'm like in a hooded sweatshirt, and I even considered putting the hood up because I wanted to be in disguise. Because basically, I didn't want the person who told me it wasn't there to know that I was coming to, like, double check their work. Because I consider this person a friend. And I didn't want to be like, oh, I don't believe you. Because it was like, it's not that I don't believe you, but basically I'm so desperate at this point. Also, it's like, it's going to save me like $14. Plus, I don't even know if the internet is a thing where the spelling bee is. So it could save me a lot of trouble. So I decide, fuck it, I'm going to take a look. So I walk around and I don't find it where it's supposed to be. I look a couple other places and don't find it. And then, magically, on a rotating wooden platform podium thing, like where I thought it would be, I found it. So then I was like, oh shit, there it is. So I picked it up and took it up to the desk. And at that point, I'd been on the lookout, like, is this person going to be here? Because, like, this is how... I don't know what's wrong with me, but I can't assert myself ever. I mean, I can, but also I can't. I was just at a used bookstore, right? And they had a book sale where it was like, if they have this red sticker, buy 2 for $5. And there was a book I actually really wanted. And they, you know, we don't have it at the library and it's older, so I don't think we're going to get it anytime soon. And I was like, oh, how much is that one? And it was like $7. And I was like, well, maybe I should just find another book that costs, you know, anything. Because really, I'm going to buy 2 for $5. Doesn't that mean that'll be cheaper than buying the one? And so I found something else. I don't even remember what it is. It's like right next to me and I can't remember. And I go up to the thing and she's like, that'll be $14. And I was like, ah, shit. But for some reason, I just feel like a cheap weirdo being like, actually, it's 5 according to your own sale. Because even somehow when I saw 5, I was like, you can't run a business this way, can you? You can't be making any money. Are you just trying to divest yourself of stock? And I felt so horrible and was just like, yeah, I mean, that's what I should pay. $14 for 2 books is appropriate. 5 is not. So I couldn't even assert myself and say, like, no, according to your signs that are everywhere. Because, you know, I was like, I don't know. I don't think this lady owns the bookstore. I think she just works at the bookstore /coffee shop. She probably doesn't know. Or maybe I didn't know. Maybe I read it wrong. I don't know. And I'm just like, I don't even want to get into a whole thing. I'd rather pay another $9 than get into a thing. Because that's who I am. So I didn't want to run into this person who worked at the library that had the dictionary, because even though I was right to be like, I'm going to double check, even though I was not right to disbelieve, but right to be like, you know, it never hurts to put a second pair of eyes on it. Despite all that, I would still feel like a shitty person. I'd still feel like I was being like, well, I know better than you. But the weird part is, I did in this case. Like, it was a good thing to do, and I did know better. Like, I knew where it was, even though I don't work in that library. I guessed and figured out and was like, when I didn't find it on the shelf, was like, I'm going to look around for a weird little podium, because that's what ours has been on for years. And I suspect this may be the same thing. So anyway, it was just like the weirdest summation of like how I feel about myself and others, which is like the low self-esteem to be like, I can't even rub this in someone else's face. Not only can I not rub it in someone else's face, I'm afraid of getting caught doing something the right way. That's how low I've sunk in my life. So then I had the dictionary, and at tremendous personal cost, and then went and did the spelling bee. It's like one of those things where you're real freaked out about something, and then, because here's what happened. So then I get to the spelling bee, and this year, for the first time, you know, every year they get a little better at running the spelling bee, and this year I get there, and they've got the words all printed out in this packet, right? So as the judge, what you do is you listen to the speller, you follow along, you write down the way they spell the word out loud. So you write down each letter as they say it. Then you compare it to the one on the sheet, and you're like, that's the correct spelling. If they get it right, you just say thank you. If they get it wrong, you say the correct spelling is, and then you spell it. Which is hilarious, because like it's a funny position. I'm going to tell you right now, being the judge at a spelling bee is weird. And maybe it's just not for me, because I don't... Well, okay. There's the weird part, because they spell, and then it makes it seem like you're, like, creating this dramatic tension, because you're, like, they finish spelling, and it takes a second to be, like, all right, that's good, and there's another judge, and I kind of confer with that judge and be, like, you heard it right, I heard it right, we're good to go. So then, it makes it seem like you're adding tension, right? Because you're being like, oh, yeah, okay, correct, you know, instead of just immediately knowing. Because turns out, in case you weren't aware of this fact, you can spell a lot faster orally than you can write down the word and then check it against another word. Also, you know how sometimes if you stare at a word long enough, it just doesn't fucking make sense anymore? Well, that's basically 2 hours of that, because you're staring at every word and every spelling and the derivations and all this shit, so you're just confused. But, and the other part I don't like is the part where you're like, the correct spelling is, and then you spell it, because sometimes you can tell the difference between the polite and the impolite kids, because the polite kids stand there and listen to you spell, and then they're like, oh, okay, you know, because they hear where they got it wrong. The impolite kids just, like, turn and walk away as soon as you go, the correct spelling is, and then you feel weird because you feel like you're like, hey, don't walk away when I'm spelling to you correctly, because I'm like, I don't fucking know how to spell that word. I mean, good for you were closer than I would have been. No, probably not. I'm a pretty good speller, guys. I'm not great, but I'm pretty good. But anyway, I am impressed with their level of spelling, especially considering the amount of auto-correction and auto-correct options and spelling corrections that go on in, you know, Microsoft Word and on phones and shit. I don't know. Learning to spell is becoming more and more obsolete. Which we all know. I mean, it's still better to know how to spell than not. And if you kind of learn how to spell most things, then you can spell most things. But anyway, it's kind of a silly thing. It's like working... It's not as bad, but it's a little bit like working on penmanship a lot. Because it's sort of like, well, you need to have good enough penmanship for you to read your own writing and for other people to read your own writing if you intend to. You know, I did this thing last weekend... Denver Writes, and we did Valentine's. I volunteer there, and we made Valentine's. And for a while, I was working the station of addressing the envelopes, and I was just like, well, these are envelopes written by kids, and anyone who sees these is going to assume that a kid also addressed them. And they were like nice black envelopes, and whoa, that was a big rock. We were using like a permanent silver marker, you know, to mark off the envelopes. Anyway, there you go. I have a child's handwriting. So it's nice to have good handwriting once in a while. I can say that for sure. Big revelation here on the show. So here's the thing, though, that happened. So I went through this whole thing to get a dictionary, right? And I was like, God, how am I going to get this? And they're depending on me. And I said I would have it. And I thought I had saved the one from last year and just kept it in my office. But I guess I didn't. Because I was like, eh, it's not here, which is where I thought it was. So I was looking everywhere for it. I couldn't find it. I tried to get it from these other libraries. I couldn't. And then I finally got it. And I was like, thank you, God. And then I showed up and they had the packet with the words on it. And this year he was like, good news. We did the word packet and it also comes with the definition, the part of speech, the language of origin. The language of origin is the big one where you have to look it up. So he's like, as long as we don't burn through all the words and have to go to the crazy alternate words, we probably won't even need the dictionary. And I was like, God damn it. I mean, it's good, but also not good. It's kind of like, you know, when you rush to be on time somewhere and you're running late, and then you get there and, you know, you just barely made it on time. And then it turns out that, like, there was no need to rush because for whatever reason, you know, no one else is ready or you had the time wrong or whatever. And so you look back and you're just like, that whole effort that I made was really, that was a lot of concern and care on my part for nothing. And it's not like it's his fault, you know, who got the words, because it's like, how the fuck was he supposed to know I was, like, running around like an idiot? So anyway, I did that today. I did do the Valentine's thing, so here's how that works. It's like one of their fundraisers for the year. So people come, and they have a suggested donation of, like, $5, and what you do is you fill out this little sheet, right? And it's like, tell us the person's name that you want this for, and tell us about, you know, is this someone you love? Is this like a relative or whatever, a friend? Tell us some of the things they like. Tell us some of the, you know, do you have any like nicknames for the person or any specific phrases or words you want in there? And, you know, it's like, what's their favorite animal? What's their favorite food? Stuff like that. So people fill one of those out. They pay like $5 or more. And then the kids take these sheets and write Valentine's. Oh, and also it's like they're all poems. So they're different kinds of poems. Like, do you want a haiku? Do you want a renga? Do you want this different stuff? So it's pretty fun. I mean, probably most of the Valentine's are sold to the parents of the students in the thing. But that's okay. I mean, a lot of the parents, I think, are doing just fine. So we were doing one, and so I always buy a couple. You know, I buy one for Poon Master Flex, and I got one for my mom. So there are these kids that come pretty often that I talk to, and last year they were asking me if I was married. You know, and I was like, no, I'm not married. I have a girlfriend. And they were like, you're too old to have a girlfriend. You need to be married. And I was like, okay. So they wrote a Valentine with, I can't remember the exact wording of it, but it was basically a marriage proposal. And they were like, don't worry about reading it, just give it to your girlfriend. And so, of course, I read it and I was like, oh, God damn it. So I gave it to her, though. I was like, I just want you to know this is not, I don't endorse this, but it's funny. So, and you know, she does not want to get married, like, right now. We just had this discussion the other night. She didn't want to get married at all then, and definitely doesn't now. So, good. So anyway, these same kids were there this year, and, you know, they did one for Poon Master Flex, and they were like, are you married yet? And I was like, no, and they remembered from last year. And it's a boy and girl, a brother and sister, and the sister's like, oh, come on. You know, and she's like, "When you're never going to get married if you don't get married soon." And I was like, well, how old are you going to get married? And she's like, I don't know, when I'm like 30 or 31. And I was like, that's only like a year or 2 years sooner than I would get married if I got married now. And she was like, yeah, but you're not married now. Also, what if I get married when I'm 29? That'll be like more than 1,000 days sooner than you got married. And I was like, well, you got me there. A thousand of a thing sounds like a lot of a thing, and that wouldn't, the math checks out, according to my calculations. So you got me there. So they wrote one for my mom, and I was like, I just want this to be hilarious. She appreciates a joke. And so the girl starts working on it, and she's like, all I can think of, I keep thinking, there once was a mom who was a nut, because they were going to do like a limerick. And I was like, I like it. And she said, you know, well, is it okay to call your mom a nut? And I was like, as long as it's funny, my mom's got a good sense of humor. So she went off, she worked on it, and she came back and was quite proud of it. And it was basically what she had done was switch a couple things. So now there once was a mom of a nut. And basically it was an insult poem to me for my mom. And then it ends with the line, it just ends with a parentheses, you know, like, love, Peter, P.S., I'm not married yet. It, he just threw that in there for my mom. So I was like, oh, thank you. This is good. I like the volunteering opportunity because it gives me the opportunity to really reassess, you know, the world through the eyes of a child is amazing because you really get to see how in some ways you're a piece of shit. And it's so hurtful because you're like, ugh. They're not even trying to be dicks. You know what I mean? They're not trying to be mean. They're just being truthful. You know how people, like, people who are awful will be like, I'm not mean. I'm just honest. Or, like, people get mad at me because I'm so honest all the time. And I'm, whenever I hear those people say that, I'm like, no, I think you're mean. I mean, honesty doesn't mean you have to tell everybody everything. It's like, if I think someone's haircut looks like shit, I can just say nothing. Or, let's be serious. If someone's like, what do you think of my haircut? And I think it looks horrible, I can just say, oh, looks good. Because what is the honesty of telling someone their hair looks like shit? Unless it's like somebody who you're like, my opinion will change what they do in the future, and that's better for them. Because unless you're in that position, you don't need to tell someone their hair looks like shit. Even if they asked you. Because you know what? No one's asking you for your honest opinion. Okay? Unless they are, which is very rare, but you know who that is and you know who those people are. And they're like, eh, what do you think about this? And you can tell they don't love it. Or, you know, it's like this. Imagine your friend gets a tattoo and then is like, I don't know, do you think it looks okay? Just say yes. I don't care how horrible, I don't care if it looks like an insane clown posse tattoo that was done in a prison, in a place where they've never even heard of the insane clown posse, which I can't imagine what kind of prison that would be. But imagine that's what the tattoo looks like. When the person asks you, does it look okay? The answer is yes. Yeah, I think it looks good. And that's not honesty, but it's also like, well, Can't you like exist outside of your crazy moral code long enough? Because basically this person's stuck with this fucking tattoo for life. It's not like you can do a whole lot. Or, you know, when someone's dating someone who you're not real a big fan of, you don't have to tell them. I mean, you can, but you don't have to. You could just be like, eh, you know, seems cool. I don't know. She's got a cool car or something. I don't know. Ah, Ben Carson bumper sticker. Political time is always the funnest time for bumper stickers. I saw two really good ones yesterday and today. One was, you know, they have the bumper stickers where it's always like the years that someone was alive. And I have two requests on those, by the way. Number one, because whenever I see one of those, I always do the math and I'm like, okay. If they're under 20, I'm like, true tragedy, right? That sucks. And then, but when they get to be, it's not even like 20, but I don't know. When you see one and the dude was like 40, isn't it kind of like, I mean, yeah, I don't, you know, if your dad died when you were 40, that'd be pretty fucked up. But at the same time, I don't know if it's sticker worthy. I don't know if it's like, in memory of so-and-so, here's this, like, if my dad died when he was 40, I don't think I would want to be getting in my car now, a car that I've certainly purchased a decade after his death, And every time I look in my rearview mirror, be like, hey, remember when your dad died? And you're just like, ah, cool, that's fun. That's a nice, you know. Or like, I mean, even if it was your kid, which has got to be fucking horrendously bad. I totally understand. That would be the worst thing. Even so, I don't think every time I backed out of my garage, I would want to be like, oh yeah, I have a dead son. That's awesome. Like, I don't understand why you would do that to yourself. But here's the thing. So I saw a really weird variation of those. So it was one that was like, it had the guy's name, it had the birth dates. I think he was like 19, so I was like, all right, falls within the category. But what it said was Roland Cole for such an, you know, Justin Stevens or whatever. So Roland Cole is in like, hey, I fucked up my truck's fuel system, so I shoot out black smog whenever I go driving because I think that's a really good thing to do, but really I'm just blowing unburned fuel into the air. It's craziness. But anyway, Roland Cole for so-and-so. And I just was like, I wonder how that dude would feel about it. Because, I mean, his date of death was like quite a while ago. I don't know, 10 years ago or something. It was like in the 90s maybe. And I just was kind of like, is that, I don't know. That's how I want to be remembered, is like somebody doing something that's horrible for the environment. I mean, I kind of, I think it's the dumbest fucking shit ever and I fucking hate it. I also sort of understand where people who like that are coming from, which is basically, I mean, they're being obnoxious assholes, but it's like the same thing as like, my car is really loud, my car is really fast, da 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 da. It's car culture shit. It's, you know, hillbilly car culture, right? So I kind of get it, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know, I feel like when you die, don't you want to be known for other... It's kind of like, you know, when people have that sticker that says, like, oil field wife. And you're like, well, I hope you have, like, bigger aspirations for your life than putting a bumper sticker of your husband's career on your car, but okay. But then also, I'm like, if that person died, I don't think they would want on their tombstone, oil field wife. Or... I don't know. I don't think people would want, like, would was planning to vote for Ben Carson on their fucking tombstone or as their memorial. Like, well, the thing I remember most about this person is they probably would have voted for this person. Like, who gives a shit? And so it just seemed really weird to me that they were like, ah, Roland Cole for this guy. It's what he would have wanted. It's like, really, of everything this person would have wanted... shooting out black smoke is probably at the top of that list. That's like your number one. Well, it's the best thing I can do for him. You know, we all have to remember our passed on people in our own way, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. It seemed dumb. The other one that I saw was like, God bless our troops, especially the snipers, or something like that. Which I thought was strange. I don't know why I was like, that's really weird, but I thought it was weird. I thought it was a little weird. I don't know why, though. I don't know why that one stuck out at me as being bizarre, but it totally did. I was completely baffled by it in some kind of way that still doesn't completely make sense to me, why this particular position. It's like, God bless them especially. Maybe because it was like, God bless the troops. You're like, yeah, okay. I mean, they're doing a thing that's tough and whatever. But then it's like, and especially the snipers. And you're like, God bless especially the ones who are like specifically designated to blow dudes' heads off. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just not that aggressive, I guess. As we learned from the books, right? As we learned from the fact that I couldn't... Probably the fact that I could not ask for the correct price on two used books from a lady who was working at a bookstore indicates that I might not be possessing of the right level of aggressiveness to, like, end someone's life. You know, I don't think those things always go hand in hand, but... In this one case, I can see where there's some crossover. I can see a little bit of a parallel going on there. Oh, I did see AC/DC on the other night. That's right. The rock and roll band AC/DC. It was pretty great. I've seen now in my life like two what I would call like old school, been around the block bands. Like, I don't really go to a lot of shit like that, like your Rolling Stones and stuff, because I've always felt like, I don't know, like I would have wanted to see them in the early 80s or something like that, maybe. However, pretty fucking great. The other one I saw was Metallica. It was great. And I was way past my Metallica phase. Let me tell you something. When it, you know, when people talk about like how men and women are the same, boys and girls are the same, here would be my first thing I would say. Like, it's if like women be shopping and men be doing this, I would be like, young men be going through a Metallica phase. Because like almost every young man I know went through at least a brief flirtation with Metallica. Now, this could be a generational thing too. Like, it could be kind of like, I don't know, some other kind, like hip hop or some shit now. Like, maybe it'll be Lil Wayne or some crap. But I'm telling you right now, if you were a boy born between the year of like 1970 or even maybe the late 60s, all the way up to like 1995, you probably went through a Metallica phase at some point if you. Or, you know, have always loved them. And they were great. I was way past that phase. I had gone through it and just, you know, come out the other side. Some ways worse for the wear. Some ways same for the wear. Appropriately worn for the wear. And I can tell you that Metallica's great. AC/DC, also quite great. I don't know, they just sounded good, man. Now, okay, they sounded good, although it was loud as fuck. My ears still lightly ringing, like some 3 days later. I mean, that night and the next day, my ears were like, woo. I mean, it was bad. I was just like, oh my god, this is horrible. However, they sounded great. But, you know, the singer It's clearly like some old dudes on stage, right? These are not like young dudes. Now, they did a great show. Much better show than many, many younger bands. In fact, they had an opening band that was a lot younger and was quite a bit more horrible. I mean, the guitar player wasn't that good. And, you know, they're a beginning band, I think. I don't know what it is with bands and their, like, banter. Where they have to talk in between the songs, but like young bands are the worst at it. And I don't know if that's because they actually are terrible at it or I just don't want to listen to them because I'm like, what do you have to tell me that I want to hear? But they were awful. I mean, this guy kept saying like, thanks for having us out tonight. You know, AC/DC, that was like my favorite band when I was a kid. I had their poster on my wall when I was 13. And I was just like, okay, well, that's a nice story. Also, dumb thing to say, because I'm like looking around at the crowd and it's all, you know, it's a lot of older people, not like old people. But I mean, if you want to feel like a young person, my advice is to go to a concert for a band that's heyday is 30 years in the past, because you will feel, I don't care how old you are, you will not feel old. You will not be the oldest person there by a long shot. And also, you know, this guy kept saying like, thanks for listening to us. We're having a lot of fun. And I was just like, well, that's what's important. As long as you guys are having fun. I mean, I don't know. I paid money to get here. Okay. So we had to pay for these tickets, by the way. And, you know, we'll just do an arbitrary number to make the story work. Cause I don't want to say how much they cost. I'll just fucking say it was $235 for this ticket. Now, that wasn't what I planned to pay, but here's what happened. A friend of the show, Alec, his older brother, bought 6 tickets with the plan to sell 2 on Craigslist. And so he was selling them on Craigslist for $250 apiece. And then Alec was like, whoa, 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 sell those to us. We want to go to this show. And his brother was like, all right, right on. I'll totally sell them to you. You know, and he's like, and I'll give you like the family discount and stuff, which he was like, ha ha ha, thinking like, all right, he'll sell them to us like pretty much at cost or whatever. So he was selling them for $250, and he sold us these tickets for the cherry price of $235, which was like kind of annoying. Alec felt horrible about it, and I was like, it's more than I wanted to pay. However, this is like a 10 years in the making, because we were going to go see AC/DC like 10 years ago, but we didn't go because I was just coming back from Chicago or something and didn't want to go the next day or whatever. So this has been a long time in the making. So we just had to go. And I was like, they're not going to be alive. There's no way. There's not another 10 years. I thought last time, I was like, they're not coming back. That's it. But they did. Anyway, so there you go. We got a great family discount. But like, I was glad about the decision because they sounded great. But I'm going to tell you right now, you know, the singer's out there and he's wearing a black shirt. But, you know, it's not jet black. It's been washed a few times. So you could pretty much tell right when he started having a good amount of tit sweat, which was 10 minutes into the show. And he seemed to be only sweating from his breasts, which you're like, okay. And then the guitar player, what's his name? Angus. I mean, so he wears his schoolboy outfit and shit. And, like, he's great at the guitar. And, he didn't look, like, frail at all. He was like jamming and running up and down the stage and stuff and jumping on one foot like he does and rolling around on the floor like fucking Curly from the Three Stooges. But I got to tell you, like, he looked like a goddamn zombie because he was all sweaty and he had this long stringy hair. You know, he looked like the guy from the comics, like the Vault of Horror comics or something. It was a little crypt keeper-y. The guy on the drums looked like the guy from fucking Saw. And then there was kind of just this guy who looked like George Lucas, sort of. But, you know, you're like, this is kind of like if they did like a Universal Horror Monsters concert, they could totally pull it off. They also at one point had, you know, they had these giant screens and these cannons and stuff like that. And then the screens went up. It was like one of the songs had this computer animated woman who had like gigantic boobs, but her face was all fucked up looking. Like, it was really round. Her head was like spherical, and then her facial features were flat on her face. And the way she was posed, her boobs were so giant she couldn't really be in the pose that she was in. Like, it was like an optical illusion, like an M.C. Escher drawing where you're like, her boob is simultaneously in front of and behind her arm. That's what's happening right now. That's what I'm viewing. Overall, though, I would say pretty great. I mean, loud as fuck. T-shirts were like $40 and I didn't buy one. They also were selling these like light up devil horns, which were like flashing. It was like a girl's hair band thing that goes over your head, you know, like a Halloween devil horns. And they flashed red. And I was like, who the fuck's going to buy that? And it turns out a bunch of people bought it. But I was glad a bunch of people bought it because I was like, well, I don't want those. But looking around the crowd, I did want other people to have them because it's a pretty fun visual effect to have all these flashing red lights all around and shit. So I was like, oh, well, I guess, I was wrong to poo-poo it. I should have been more understanding of the whole thing. All right. Well, I got to go to work, guys. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I'm working like the split shift because I did the spelling bee in the morning and closing tonight. So my eyes are rimmed in pink. And I'm sure in a couple hours I'll just feel like, I used to have this sort of life where things happened where I wasn't at work. But now it's just like, this is the only place things seem to happen. Thanks for listening again. Real quick, t-shirts are happening. 18 have been purchased so far, and 15 was the number that had to be purchased, so they will be printed. So you will be getting a t-shirt if you've ordered one. If you haven't, by the time you hear this, it might be too late. Fuck you. You know, limited edition. What are you going to do? You know, next time I put something up for sale, buy that shit. Because this is the only chance you get. And I'm making a cool $19 on these t-shirts. I was thinking I need to make this spreadsheet. Because I was like, oh, I'm making $19 on this t-shirt. Although, I'm also buying one of the t-shirts. So I guess that $19 is really like nothing. I think they're $15 plus $3.99 shipping or something. So I'm making exactly no... I'm basically getting a free shirt of my own shirt, I guess, for the trouble. But I need to put up a spreadsheet of like losses and gains from the show for this year because I just paid the hosting fee and all that shit. And I bought that memory card and I was like, God, this would probably be depressing. And that's why I don't want to do it. Because I'm like, ugh, this would just make me disgusted with myself and my life. Anywho, that's enough of my financials for today. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. I'm sure we'll have some good stuff to do. Hopefully we'll be in the studio. So we got some studio shit that we definitely got to do. All right. I don't have a sign-off phrase. I was going to say, like, you know, take it sleazy or whatever, but I don't have a thing. You're not gonna say it. Somebody should talk about two.